I'm recovering addict Travis. And I was actually thinking about what I was going to say about her because I got so many things to say about Tanya. But I remember being on this area in Reno, Nevada years ago. And I remember I couldn't get off the cell block or the several block radius. And I finally got out of that prison and I went to this transitional living and gave Narcotics Anonymous a try. And then I met Tanya. She came to speak at a convention. And it was great because I got clean in the area where I was one of the only chocolate chips in the bowl of vanilla ice cream. So it was pretty good seeing somebody that looked like me. Not that what matters is somebody looks like me to carry the message, but sometimes it was good to see somebody that looked like me. And Tanya sort of looks like me, right? All right. And she came over there and she carried the message. And, you know, I'm not really a crier, you know. And she actually brought tears to my eyes when she was sharing because it was so passionate. It was so heartfelt. It was so real. It was so true. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And so I love how she carries this message. And we've been locked in ever since. And like going from that cell block and several block radius that I couldn't get off of, me and Tanya have been able to go overseas to Egypt and carry the message. And we've been able to go over to Rome and Greece and Santorini and Venice. We've been able to go some places, right, in this recovery process. And to think, like, how the hell you get to go places when I could never even leave that small area I was in Sacramento or those institutions in California. And to be able to go someplace with somebody is a beautiful gift that Narcotics Anonymous has given us.
That's right.
It's the friendships, right, and the love. I remember, like, getting my kids out of CPS, Child Protective Services. Those little knuckleheads when they were teenagers, and I used to think, man, I should have left their asses in there. And I remember I would call Tanya, and Tanya would always give me some good words of encouragement and advice on how to deal with them and how to just keep dealing with them and keep parenting with love and like all the things that I really lacked and I'm still working on. So Tanya has been like one of those beautiful angels in my life that's been helping me, like, to see things from a new angle. You know, because some people say with every new level, there's a new devil. I like to say with every new angle, there's a beautiful angel. She's one of those beautiful angels that have been helping me in this process. And one more thing, I remember, like, last month, I was traveling over to Utah, over-the-road truck driver. And I was really late. I took a load, and I told him I had a team driver with me, so I had to really hustle and get that load over there on time. And I was really, really tired. And Tanya talked on the phone with me for about 4.5 hours until about 3 a.m. and made sure I got there safely. And I got there safely and everything, and I just, you just think about, like, some of the gifts that we get sometimes in these relationships, people that will just stay on the phone with us. Like, you hear people say that you can call them at 2 a.m. if you feel like using, but how about when you don't feel like using, but you just need somebody to help you to get to the next destination? And Tanya has been there. We've been locked in and getting to destinations and having each other's back and building a strong relationship in this recovery process. And the last thing about Tanya is, she loves the principles. She loves the principles and gets really upset when people on service don't practice the principles. Tanya will call me about these people who got substantial amounts of clean time that still ain't practicing the principles. And that's a beauty to see, like, active members with substantial amount of clean time still working the steps, still believing in the program, and still, most of all, and most importantly, practicing these principles in all her affairs. I love you, Tanya, and now I give you Tanya. Come up here and fan that flame.
Hi, family. I'm Tanya J. I'm a blessed recovering addict. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want to tell you that it's truly an honor and a privilege to be here. And I don't take this honor lightly. I know the words from my mouth may help that next addict stay clean, but if you don't get anything else from what I say, I want you to know that our message is hope and that our promise is freedom. That an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, you can lose that desire to use, and you too can find a new way to live. And after everything is said and done, that is our message. You know, I just got choked up listening to Travis, because that's why we're here. I want to say to my predecessors that came before me, thank you for keeping the doors open. I was 25 years old when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. When I first found out I was an addict, I was 20 years old. Crack came out to New York in 1986, and I thought it was just something I could handle, just another thing. I want to tell you that I don't come from a dysfunctional family. My mother and father have been married for 64 years. My father's 96, my mother's 80, and she keep him on his toes. He called me Superstar. He said, Superstar, when you coming back home? I got to talk to you about your mother. And then when I get home and I get on my mother, he be like, hold up, that's my lady. Don't you talk to her. I want to tell you it's truly an honor to have a set of parents who instilled in me way before I met y'all spiritual principles. It talks about in our literature that we become like other people. Those same people that we mock and we make fun of, it says we become productive members of society just like them. But something happened along our way. Something happened along my way. And I lost my way, and I couldn't find my way back to the Yellow Brick Road. I was 20 years old, and I remember knocking on my parents' door. My mother came to the door, and my mother said to me, she said, look, I don't know what you're doing out there, but you can't do it here. XYZ facility called. They said they have a room for you, and I suggest you go, because you can't stay here doing that. I'm talking about people who had a set of principles that was written so simply in their lives, who was not gonna allow me to disrupt their life. I remember saying to myself, what happened? I stayed clean from that therapeutic community for 5 years, and back then they gave us drinking privileges. They don't do that shit no more. I'm here to tell you, alcohol is a drug, and we put great emphasis on that. So after being clean for 5 years, I took a drink, and I broke out in crack. It was real simple. And I remember I had a friend that invited me, because it's something when you get off the unbeaten path. And I'm here to tell you that even though you sit there, and some people may have to go back out there again to learn the lesson, you will never use the same again. When you get a little bit of Narcotics Anonymous in your head, and that's what we try to do. We try to put it in your head. That's why we give you all those readings, every meetings, and we read the readings over and over and over again, because what we're trying to instill is a set of principles in your life. And the most important thing about them is that they work. And so I remember I had a friend and they invited me to Narcotics Anonymous. When I came in here with a business suit, an attaché case. I was a college graduate. I had my own place. I had a job, and I want to tell you that I retired from that job over 9 years ago. I'm talking about when I got here, there wasn't nothing here but dope fiends, and they had big hands, and they had pus coming out their hand. And I was sitting there, and I said, how did I get here? How does a college-educated young lady with both parents, beautiful home, wind up in a fine place like this? And I remember y'all were sharing, and I was like, I ain't do that. Because this back then, the stories were really juicy. I ain't do that. And the woman who was my sponsor must have heard me talking under my breath. And she said, Miss got your shit together. People who got their shit together don't come to Narcotics Anonymous. She said, fucked up people do. And then she looked me in my eyes and said, welcome. I said, She told me to learn to listen and listen to learn. She told me to take the cotton out my ears and stick it in my mouth. I'm talking about when I came here, them dope fiends didn't play and they didn't worry about us threatening them about I'm going to go out and use, because I'm going to tell you in my era they did put money on the floor. They said, you keep talking about you want to use here. And if you went and picked up that money, you better go on out and use it. Don't come back until you are ready to stay. Because Narcotics Anonymous was a solution-focused program. Because we tell you, we don't care who your connections are. You could be with Tito Puente, whoever you want to be with, Nicky Bond, Scarface. We don't care about all that. All we care about is your problem and how we can help. And the newcomer was the most important person at any meeting. But I'm here to tell you, they're not the only important people. Everyone sitting in this room is the most important person. I'm the most important person in my life. You know, when you get on the plane, they tell you, don't forget, put your mask on first and then save other people. I remember being out there using and crying out to a God of my understanding. See, I don't have issues with God. I come from a family that was into, they were very spiritual people. I knew God to be a mighty source of strength. And I know that that didn't happen for a lot of people. So those that struggle with it, just take good orderly direction. But I remember praying to that God. God, help me. Because I was at the end of my road. I told you at 20, I was destroying my life. And at the same time, I was out there crying out to this God. There were some people in a room who were praying to a God of their understanding to send people just like me their way. They said, we found a way out. They said that they created a program that's available to us all. And they showed us in their symbol. Our symbol is a circle with a square, which means the manifestation for any addict, the lying addict, the cheating addict, the hoeing addict, the stripping addict, the black addict, the white addict, the Hispanic addict, the LGBTQIA addict, to the molester, to the pedophile, to the victims. They said, we got a program and it's available for everybody. And guess what? To the one that's just coming out of jail and the one that's sitting in here right now about to go into jail. It talks about a program that can help anybody. And it said that it's available to us all. So while I stand here with 34 years, listen to the member that's sitting there saying, whew, that's a lot of time. It's a day at a time. I need you. I need you to survive. I have a disease that y'all said there is no known cure. However, it can be arrested and recovery is then possible. My disease is so disrespectful. It tells me, I don't care what you've accomplished and what you have become, you still ain't shit. I want to tell you, I didn't waste my time while I was in here. Because y'all told me, get better, do the work. Now, I know this new literature that we get, they tell y'all take your time and walk the walk and you get there when you get there. That's not what my predecessors told me. They said the first 90 days, we want you to go to open meetings. Those are meetings that tell you about our program. And that's so that you can determine whether you're an addict or you're not. It says, but after you realize that you're an addict, because, you know, people think that because you show up at a meeting that you're automatically a member of this fellowship. That's not true. You're a member when you say you are, and how do we know that you're a member of us when you raise your hand and say, hey, I'm Tanya J, and I'm an addict. I say, oh, there go my people. Y'all be going into them open meetings, hugging on people, and they be like, get the fuck off of me. Who are you? You think everybody that show up in the meeting is there for that? I want to share a story about my brother. So I remember when I came to NA, you know, your family think you could save everybody in your family. And my mother called me. My mother don't even curse. She said, listen, I think you need to call your brother. I think he on that shit. I don't know. I think he's on that shit. You know, take him to that place you go to. Let them, you know. Okay. So the only way you get an addict to be on time is you got to make him a promise. So he wanted some money. I said, listen, if you're not here by this time, I'm not giving you no money. So, you know, he came 10 minutes early to make sure that I was serious. And as he came down there, he looked like an addict. He moved like an addict. And I was pretty sure he was an addict. But I couldn't say he was an addict. That was an omission that he had to make for himself. And so I gave him like we all do. You know, I want a newcomer come, and that's why it's important to get a home group so that you know who is new. Because new don't want to be new. New want to be old, because in the street, if they knew you was new, they robbed you. They took advantage. So we pretend to know shit that we don't know until somebody who knows tell you, you don't know. But in here we say, we'll show you. So he came to the meeting and he had his little pamphlet out. I gave him all the pamphlets and I gave him, am I an addict? And that's that little pamphlet, you know, where somebody giving you got to check off. And he checked it off and he looked at me and I'm not, you know, I'm trying to be cool, right? Because I almost said, oh shit, he getting it. And he, you know, he checked them and he answered all the questions accurately. And he looked at me and I smiled at him. And then my friend Terry S., even though we have the same time, Terry was young when he got there, younger than I, and Terry was the speaker, and it was a pitch meeting, and the pitch meeting is where the speaker will share, and they call different people up, and the next person share, and you come up, and you ever go to a meeting when everybody's talking about recovery, but they ain't really focusing on the disease? And so I remember all these different people coming up, and my brother looked attentively at everything. And I said to him at the end, because Terry threw down, I said, Brian, did you get anything from that? He said, yeah, those people got problems. So we can't tell you that you're an addict. It's up to you. That's why we have the various readings that we have. We give you who's an addict. And it tells us, most of us don't have to think twice. Yo ass no. I don't think nobody comes and say, oh, let me just go see what the junkies are doing today and sit in the meeting. See, when you come through the door, it's nothing to be ashamed of, especially if you see somebody, because we know you're sick too. We just stay long enough to see how sick you are. And then we like, ooh, that's a sick bird right there. Ooh. We tell you what this program is and what this program is not. We tell you why you're here. Tanya J., you're here because of your own inability to accept personal responsibility. So don't come in here fucking with these people. They're here to help you. And we're going to love you enough to weather your storm, because some of us have traditions in our lives. And we're going to tell you how this program works. It says it's a set of principles that are written so simply that you can follow them in your daily life. And the most important thing about them is what? That they work. And then we have some traditions, and the traditions warn the members who have come and who have understood that they have a major problem with drugs. They're going to come in there, and it says, listen, there's going to be some ill winds. There's going to be some people that's going to come, that's going to try to destroy us. They're going to try to change our language. They're going to start to add their verbiage. That's why the old timers be in there. That's not what it says. Because it tells us in tradition too, our leaders are but trusted servants. They don't govern, but there's some leaders here, and they're leading the way. And so it talks about those ill winds, those people that are going to try to tell us that Narcotics Anonymous don't work. That's why they do the clean time countdown, to let the newer member know that there are people that have been here. I was on a platform today out in Rosemont, New England, and it was called 30 and Above, the predecessors meeting. And I had the opportunity to see one of my predecessors, or a bunch of predecessors up there. I spoke there, and he had 65 years. His name is Vito, and he's live and kicking. And I remember when I went to the world and they asked me to come speak, it was called Walking the Walk. I don't know about you, but my disease told me that it's only a black thing. And I was sitting up there and I was sharing about how, because I was black and that's why, you know, crack came out, and that's why I'm an addict. And the guy walked right past the stage and I told him that's why I smoke crack, and he said, we smoke crack in Germany too. I said, well, all righty then. This is the only disease that tries to isolate you. It tells you you're the only one that's going through it. And that's why we come together to share our story. My parents be cracking up. They said, wait a minute. You go all the way to all these conventions. You fly all over the world to go to a convention, to sit in a room with a bunch of people that said them sad, sad stories, and y'all do that the whole weekend? I said, yep. And we have a good time when we do it. Let me tell you something. Narcotics Anonymous is an awesome program. And if you keep coming, you're going to learn about some principles, which are standards, really expectations and behaviors. They're called spiritual principles. This is what governs our behavior. Those principles that allow us the freedom to live life like other people do. But freedom ain't free. There's a price you're going to pay for your freedom. How free do you want to be? It talks about our tradition. I want to talk about tradition 3. Because I couldn't understand why, how could people who came here don't work the steps, and there's a lot, and how they still was on the same boat ride I was on, the same different foreign countries I was in. How did they get to reap the rewards of this awesome program? I thought you had to do the step. My predecessors that came before me, they scared the hell out of Tanya J.
They said, do the step or die. Do the step. Die, motherfucker, do the step. They wasn't talking to me, but that's what they were saying.
And so after the first 90 days, when I realized I was an addict, they told me to stop going to the beginners meetings. They told me that they wanted me to go to what they call closed meetings. Closed meetings are for addicts and addicts only. They said, if you wandered into this group, most of the jargon says, if you wandered into this group and you're not an addict, please see the secretary or somebody will give you a pamphlet to an open meeting. Because everybody's not going to understand, for some people, why you fucked the dog. Now, I didn't fuck the dog. But we know that people have done some things that were strange for some change. And there's something about us as addicts that we understand. And most of us don't judge. We just say, leave the dog alone, get better. But there's nothing under the sun that any member has done that somebody can identify. And we tell you, keep coming back. See, most of us in Narcotics Anonymous deal with shame-based issues. And even though we have some assets, you ain't here because of your assets. Your ass is here because of them liabilities. Jails, institution, death, divorce, all these other different things. That's why we're here, to work on those things that take us away from the phenomenal man and the phenomenal woman that God created you to be. And we have a set of steps. So when I first came here, yes, I was powerless. I had to be powerless. I was 25 years old, sitting in a room with a bunch of dope fiends that had big hands and pus coming out their hand, and some of them were talking to themselves. Something was wrong with me. And as I sat there and those people were giving up their stories, I came to believe that there was a power greater than me, and it was them. The members who had came before me, they understood the mission. They understood the assignment. I don't know if you know, you're sitting in a seat and you're on an assignment. Everybody don't get the luxury that we have. Another chance at life. And so when you get clean, your job, and you'll find out, is to help the next addict, the next sick and suffering person understand that there's a way out. And so when I would sit up there and I would hear those that came before me and they would share, listen, let me tell you something. I was a newcomer, but I wasn't a dumb comer. I could spot bullshit a mile away. And so does these newcomers. They're coming in more educated. They ain't lose as much. They ain't as helpless. Now, they're just as hopeless as the next addict that come in here, because ain't nobody come in here brimming with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. But if you do come in here, you're well on your way. And so when we sit up there and I was listening to some of the people share their experience, strength, and hope, I would look at them and I would say, no, I don't think God would want me to talk to her like that. I don't think God would want me to treat him like that. And then I heard from the God of my understanding, himself. And we talk about the traditions. Tradition 3 is a powerful tradition. It's the tradition that allows each and every one of us to sit here in Narcotics Anonymous. It says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And I believe that the majority of us have a desire not to use. Nobody wants to go back to the horrors of their addiction. But do you have a desire to change? Most people still want to hold, still want to trick, still want to cheat, still want to beat systems, still want to talk to people greasy, still want to talk to their kids disrespectful. And you wonder after being here why they still don't respect you. Because freedom is an act of change of old ideas and old behaviors. You've been here how long and you Still calling your children little motherfuckers and son of a bitches? And you got a 12-step program? You still not taking care of the responsibility of your family? You still tricking and hoeing? I don't know any literature that we have inside here that tells us keep doing what you do it till it hurt. Now I hear some sponsors telling that keep doing what you doing till it hurt. Mm-mm. They told me to cut that shit out immediately. They said change you must, Tanya, or die you will. And so in the third tradition it tells us that if you're clean today, the God of this program has granted your wish, because the only requirement is your desire to stop using it. If you haven't used today, your wish has been granted. But recovery is about more than you just not using. You got to change the way you talk. You got to change the way you walk. You got to change the way you think. And then God turns it back to us, because it talks about in the traditions that traditions protect us from each other while we all sit in here and survive our near fatal catastrophe. And it teaches us how to get along with each other till you get to the steps, until you get better. And then he turns the steps back on us and he says, Tanya J., make a decision. Are you willing to turn your will and your life over to the care of me as you understand me, as best as you understand me? You don't have to have a perfect understanding of the God of your understanding. That develops as your spiritual growth develops. But are you willing to make a decision to trust me and to trust this process? And I said, God, yes, I am. Because I like the rewards that I was getting from being here with you people. He said, good. You know that white woman that I gave you as a sponsor? I need you to go to her, and she's going to give you some instructions. I said, but God, how do I know if I'm making the decision to turn my will and my life over to you? I think that's what most of us ask. He said, easy. He says, you go on and you do that fourth step, that inventory. I need you to tell me everything. I need you to name names. I need you to tell me every reason, Tanya J., while you became an addict. I wanted you to tell me what they did. Tell me what harm, what is causing you to self-destruct. And I want you to tell that woman. I said, I ain't telling that white woman my black business. God said, Tanya, are you listening? He said, I need you to tell her. Her name was Susan T. She's deceased now. She was my sponsor for my first 10 years, and she died of cancer. And Susan took me through the steps, and I remember going to her house. I always tell this part of the story. And I remember going to Susan's house, and back then they didn't just let us go to your house. Let me tell you something. If you got a sponsor and you just got a sponsor and they letting you come to their houses, and let me tell you something, that's an honor and a privilege. Because we don't know who the fuck y'all are. We don't know what habits you got. And you know we don't like you stealing from us, right? Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, right? And so it was important. That's why we took them to coffee shops. We need to find out who you are. We had to interrogate you. What kind of family you come from? What are you doing? What kind of drugs you on? What are you doing? So if your sponsor's already allowing you, that shows you the evolution of our program and how we're becoming even more trusting and loving. See, that's our freedom too. God says, don't worry. I got you. And it takes some time for us to trust. I remember going to her house and I had wrote about my fourth step. I had 10 books because I wrote. And 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 I wrote everything that had happened in my life. I talked about the man who raped me at 10 years old. He took his penis, he put it in my mouth, in my ass, and in my vagina. And that was my introduction to sex. I don't get to have that Harlequin romance, hanging out with Bobby Lee in the back of his truck or in the school yard, wherever I wanted. I didn't have that. Choice was taken from me. And I remember going to my sponsor's house, and she looked and she said, "Tanya, what's the matter?" She made coffee, and she was a dope fiend. She's one of them hardcore dope fiends. She talked like that. "How you doing, baby?" I was a boozy chick from the Bronx. I was a pretend addict, you know? And I told her what happened. And she said, "Tanya, why do you look so nervous?" I said, "'Cause I'm afraid." She said, "What are you afraid of?" I said, "I'm afraid I'm gonna hurt you." She said, "You hurt me?" I said, "Yeah, me hurt you." She said, "How are you gonna hurt me?" I said, "Where I come from, we don't hang with white people. We rob them." She said, "You robbed me?" She said, "Okay." She went in the back. She gave me my coffee first, stirred it up, and told me to drink it. I thought she was getting ready to put me out. And then she went to her room, and she brought back this hat box, and she put the hat box on the table, and she pulled this big old manuscript out, 51 pages. And she told me to read it. And I sat there, and I was reading it and reading it and reading, and my mouth was opening wider and wider. It was 51 pages of my sponsor's felony arrest record. She was a violent predicate felon. And all I was sitting there saying, "Oh shit, this bitch know." See, I was a pretend addict. I pretended like I was gangster. I was a boozy chick from the Bronx. I ain't know nothing about the streets. And she seen my mouth was open. She said, you still worried about hurting me?" And then she said something powerful. She said, "Listen, my dear, you can get stuck on my whiteness, or you can allow me to help save your life. What would you like to do?" I said, "I'll take the save your life for $1,000. She said, "Well, all righty then." We never talked about that no more. That woman guided me through the steps for my first 10 years of my recovery. And I remember her giving me my books back. And they were them composition notebooks. You know them old composition notebooks with the line on the side? It had all this red shit in it. And I was like, "What the fuck is that?" She said, "Baby, those are your character defects." I said, "I ain't got no goddamn character defects. I'm only 25 years old." She said, "Baby, those are the things that take you away for the amazing and phenomenal woman that God wants you to be." I was 3 years in recovery when I did my fourth step. So I was 28 by then. And she said, "Listen, because I was in your amazing program." And I'm like, "Character defects? Yeah." See, we can come in here and we all have beautiful things about us. We're the most loving, caring people in the world. We're the only people that see the world as it is, as fucked up as it is, and we want to get off. You know, normal people see the world as this little rosy place. And those character defects are what takes us away from being the instruments that God want to use us for. To enhance families and lives and employers and the society as a whole. And so I remember I said, how do I get rid of it? Come on, Spawn, tell me how you get rid of it. She said, Tanya, you remember that God you said you prayed to before you met us? I said, yeah. She said, you know that God that asked you to make a decision? I said, yeah. She said, I'm going to need you to call on that God now. Because only God can remove your character defects. I'm just your sponsor. I'm just here to guide you. I'm the instrument that God has given you to help you to see you. So what is a sponsor? A sponsor is a spiritual person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. We can't make you change. All we can do is offer you suggestions, which are subtle commands. We're asking you nicely to do something for yourself. You get better when you do the work. So I remember going to God, humbly asking God to help me remove these character defects because I couldn't. I had to keep praying on character defects. And let me tell you something, character defects, they come, they go, they show up, and you'll know when you need to do additional work. Because just like we have a higher power, there's a lower power that exists in all of us. And it's still here. And we have to be careful, and we have to guard our recovery. And then God said to me, I said, God, the only way I'm going to move forward in these steps if you do something for me. He said, what? I said, I need you to go back to that man that raped me at 10, and I need you to go get him. I won't move forward until you promise me that you'll go get him. Now, I want to tell you that I caught him a year later, and he went to jail. But I felt that my life was messed up because of that. Now, it probably altered some part of my life, but I've been doing a whole lot of fucking since then. And sometimes we have to really look at what we hold on to. It talks about step work helps us to look at the contradictions of our lives. Like, we be making up some goddamn stories. That's why we have sponsors. That helps us to look at the chaos and the confusion and the things that we create that don't exist. Sounds good. Sound like you was a real gangster. But did you forget when you got your ass kicked and they found you in the gutter and all this other stuff? We start to you say you was a good girl, but when you was going out there, toot, toot, beep, beep, hey, mister, do you got a dime? Was that spiritual? And so I said, God, the only way I'll continue with this woman, because now it was my turn. It was my turn now. God said, it's now time for you to look at people that you've harmed. I said, oh, that's easy. I'm 28. I ain't harmed that many people. And I said, God, the only way I will work with this woman, you promise you're going to get him? He said, I'm going to get him, Tanya. I promise you. You just stay the course. Because, you know, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Everybody want to get, but don't nobody want to get got. And there's some things that we, too, are going to have to repent from. There's some things that we have to change in order for us to go to the next level that God wants to free us to be. How free do you want to be? And so I was given another set of instructions, was to go speak to my sponsor. And God already told me, listen, I know what you did. I know when you did it. But I need you to go talk to that woman that I've put in your life to guide you. And I need you to trust the process. And I need for you to write down and follow her instructions. And so she had me write down anybody that I possibly harm. Of course, I started with my family. And as I began to write, and as I began to invite God into my life, even deeper, things started coming to my memory. And so I wrote. And I wrote. And I wrote. And I wrote. And I realized that 28 or 25 or 20, I had done a lot of harm at such a short period of my life. And I said, okay, God. My sponsors picked out who I needed to make amends to, who I better not to go make amends to. I sold drugs. She said, no, you ain't going to no drug dealer. You ain't saying sorry for taking their dope, selling their dope, smoking their dope, because you may cause harm to yourself. But guess what? There are some people that I've identified, and I will put them in your path. And God did. He put them in my path at the most inopportune time. My last $200 in the bank. Oh, they got a guy, you done snatched his wallet. Oh. And I'm going to tell you something. For me, everyone that I kind of went to, they were so proud of me. God said, they used to call me Money. He said, Money, listen. I said, sir, how much did I take for you? He said, look, that was so long ago, I don't even remember. But God told me to go up to that bank, withdraw every dime that I had, and you give it to him. And I said to God, all right, God, I did everything that you asked me to do. And I want to tell you that even 34 years later, I still continue to make amends. That's why I helped the newcomer. I helped the old timer. I help the in-between person. I help people because I don't know how much harm I've done to society, how many families I've destroyed. I work with my family. Now, I think I'm finished with them. I think I done made as many amends. I ain't bother everybody because, you know, we couldn't get off the block back then. But I remember saying to God, okay, God, I did what you said. Now I need you to honor your word. I need you to go get that bastard that raped me at 10. And God said, Tanya, I'm going to get him. He said, because I'm a God that cannot lie, I'm going to get him. He said, but before I get him, he said, I read your fourth step too. And I remember when you took that little boy in the bathroom. Now, you might have been 12 or 14, and he might have been about 8. And I remember when you tried to put his little private piece inside of you. And what I'm going to say to you is that if I go get him, I'm going to have to get you too. So what do you want to do? Do you want me to give him the same mercy and grace that I have given you in your life? Because if I go get him, I'm coming for you. And I said, God, I'll take the mercy and the grace for 2,000. And God said, now that you've done whatever I've asked you to do through the spiritual principles of this program, I'm going to give you what we call a 10th step. I want you to know at this stage in your life that you never let anyone tell you what you was, what you wasn't, what you will never be, because to me, your slate is clean. And since I've given you this amazing program, I want you every day and every night to ask yourself some of these questions. It's called the 10-step inventory. And unlike before, where you didn't know, you don't get the excuse to say that you don't know anymore. Because every night you're going to look at it and say, did I cause somebody any harm? Did I say something to somebody that was unspiritual? Did I do something that was unspiritual in a 12-step spiritual program? And when you're wrong, you don't get the luxury of waiting. You got to promptly admit it. So God sometimes will give us a little leeway, and we have sponsors, and we bounce off what has happened in our interaction with an individual. And after a while, you will understand it for yourself, because you don't feel good. You don't feel comfortable in this new way of life. And so for me, I try to reduce the harm, because I'm one of those addicts. I don't like to say sorry. I don't like having to come to somebody, because they be waiting for you too. And I'm one of those too that believe that if you've been here, you know better. We know when we're practicing spiritual principles. We know when we're treating people wrong and intolerant. You don't get the luxury no more, because I want to tell you that there's some people that have done harm to us. They're never coming to say that they're sorry. And that's why we have to do the work and heal. Let these people here help you to heal. And it talks about in our literature in closing that sometimes those old boogaboos are going to come back. I want to tell you that in my 20th year with sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor, my sponsorship family go all the way back to the other fellowship, but we know that NA can stand on its own. And even with all of that, I have sponsees, I do step work, I do service. I still continue to do service in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm never too big for service. And I'm here to tell you, I didn't waste my 34 years here. I have done the work. And I continue to do the work. And even with having all that, my disease attacked me. I was in Boston, I was on a stage. Boston has one of the biggest conventions. About 3,000 people were there. Some people paid money for me to come in, fly in, do this, give me a hotel room. And I was walking up the stage. And y'all were clapping, Tanya J, Tanya J. Y'all didn't know me, but we family. Tanya J, Tanya J. And as I was going up the stage, and I walked up the stage, my disease said, I want to rock right now. Now, I joke and say, you robbed base and you came to get down? I know it's going to slip some people. That's a black joke. And after 20 years, my disease attacked me. I couldn't understand. But I'm following everything that y'all told me to do. And guess what? I got back to my hotel, because I remember what my predecessors told me. That's why it's important. Don't y'all be kicking these old timers out. You better get all the information you can from them. And I remember standing there. And I remember them saying, if you don't pick it up, you can't get high. That whatever you feel in this too shall pass. Hold on. Hope. Hold on. Pain ends. Got back to that hotel room. Got in the middle of that bed. And I rocked and I rolled. I didn't want to call my sponsor that late. And I remember I heard a voice. It said, ask me. And then I heard another voice. And it says, why are you sniveling? I told you. I will always resurface. And God said, ask me. I knew that voice. I said, God, help me. Because I was at the end of my rope. I was asking myself, what is there left to do? It seems to be this alternative. Now, listen, y'all, I can go on as best I can to the bitter end and feed into my disease, and I'll go to jails or institution, or I may die. Or I can remember this new way of life. New levels, new devils. But as long as I stood on the principles of this program, I was free to get on that plane, go back to Georgia, get back around the people who love me the most. And I still stand here with you 34 years later because our message is hope. And we have a promise of freedom. And that 10th step said, as long as you remember and you keep asking yourself those questions and you keep digging and digging and digging, when you don't know something, we have an 11th step that said, God says, pray to me and wait on my answer. That's why we meditate. We wait for God to answer. And you continue to pray. And that's how Tanya J had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And I'm here to tell you that our message is hope and that our promise is freedom. That an addict, any addict, could stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and you too can find a new way to live. My name is Tanya J. I'm a blessed recovering addict from New York that lives in Atlanta. Thank you.